Blog Talk Radio.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue a thousand times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides, He'll come through.
Good evening. This is your minister, Reverend Sophia Johnson Parks from the Right Way Ministry. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We're so glad to have you. And we pray that you will learn more things about the tabernacle and or the temples. And we trust that your learning and your hearing will be illuminated, and that you will understand in a deeper way the things in the Bible, and more importantly, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, oh God, and we ask, Lord, that you be with us. We thank you, Lord, for providing for us, for taking care of us, and protecting us. And we thank you for this opportunity, oh God, to share the word. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, God bless you and welcome. Welcome. We are so glad to have you. We're going to jump right in. This ministry, this teaching in these next several weeks will be on the tabernacle in the wilderness and or the temple, Solomon's temple, and or the tribulation temple that the Jews would like to build right now on the Temple Mount, which they cannot, and then the millennial temple, the temple that Jesus will have when he places his kingdom down here for 1,000 years. And we will go through the scriptures and we will prove that these temples existed and that they existed and that they will exist. And how does it relate to our salvation, and how does it relate to our understanding of Jesus? So let me get into fascinating facts about the tabernacle. It was God's plan. God is the creator of all things that exist. In the beginning, people started sinning against each other and against God. God loved people and gave them a way to atone, pay for their sin with the blood sacrifice, which is a life. At first, the sacrifices were animals. And let's go, if you have your Bibles, let me make a suggestion to you. When you come to this ministry, bring your Bible, bring a pad and some paper, so you can go behind me and check what I say. I'm using the King James Version of the Bible. Excuse me, the New King James Version, which is a little different than the old King James because we don't have a lot of these, thous, and those, which can sometimes get in the way of your understanding. So I'm going to Genesis. Let's do Genesis 1:1. For those who are just tuning in and don't really understand where we're coming from. And I will also give you references and books and people that I listen to regarding the tabernacle. So then you can go ahead and start to build your own library. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So again, we know in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just a little short reminder, just in case you had a little mishap, misunderstanding. In Genesis 8:20, it says, "Then Noah built an ark to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy everything as I have done.'" So what we're saying is the Lord acknowledged that man's imagination of his heart is evil from his youth, and he imagined to do whatever they wanted to do. So that's why God destroyed the world, destroyed the animals, except for those in the ark, and 8 people in the ark. God designed the tabernacle as a place for sacrifice, forgiveness, and fellowship with God. That's Exodus 25, chapters 25 through 26. And when you get time, you can read that. The tabernacle was Israel's spiritual center for 500 years until Solomon's temple. Its building and worship took up 50 chapters of the Bible, from Exodus to Leviticus. And included in that was the building of the tabernacle in minute detail, and the priestly garments in minute detail, and the Levites. There were several classes of priests, and the high priest was the top guy. He was the only one that was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, which we will talk about eventually. The tabernacle was Israel's spiritual center for 500 years until Solomon built the temple. So let us just do this, so then we will know, as we refer back to some of these temples. There was a tabernacle in the wilderness. And what does tabernacle mean? It's Hebrew. And in Jewish history, the portable sanctuary constructed by Moses as a place of worship for the Hebrew tribe during the period of wandering that preceded their arrival in the Promised Land. So, do we know who the Hebrew tribes are? Next week, we will just mention them. I did not list them here today. But there were 12 tribes, and the 12 tribes were actually the sons of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. And this comprises the Hebrew tribes. Now, there's a bunch of carrots. Not carrots as in C-A-R-R-O-T-S, but C-A-R-A-T-S. The gold in the tabernacle and furnishing total over 1 metric ton. I basically don't know what a metric ton looks like. You guys out there have probably more of an idea of what a metric ton looks like. But there was a lot of gold in the tabernacle. You wonder why Nebuchadnezzar wanted to go in and raid the tabernacle or the temple. A lot of gold. So let's go to Exodus 38:24. All the gold that was used in all the work of the holy place, that is, the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And next week, we will talk and equate a shekel to our monetary system and a talent to our monetary system. Some of it had originally come from the Egyptians, who gave the Israelites articles of silver and gold when they left Egypt. Let's go to Exodus 12. Because I want you to understand, this tabernacle was fabulous. All the gold and silver. And I go back, when I say tabernacle, I automatically think temple, but let's just say tabernacle. If I say temple, understand that's just a slip of the lip. Exodus 12 and 33 through 36. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their drought before it was leavened, took their dough, before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. They're leaving their land, the Israelites, and they're asking the Egyptians for gold and silver. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. So if you saw 10 plagues in your land where your firstborn died, there was locusts, water turned to blood, and 7 other plagues. And these people come to you and they say, "We want to leave your land, but we want you to give us gold and silver to leave your land." The Egyptians gave them everything they asked for. So apparently they left Egypt with a lot of gold and a lot of silver. Absolutely. Now we want to talk about the fabric dyes. In the tabernacle, the coverings over the tabernacle, over the holy place and the most holy place, was covered. And as we get into this more and more, we will begin to show you how that relates to our, how that is a type and shadow of our salvation today. So let's go to Exodus 25 and 5. And I'm going to start at Exodus 1, 25 and 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with their heart, you shall take my offering." Interesting. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, a cubit and a half its width, and a cubit and a half its height. And I'll stop right there. I read through verse 10. Went a little bit further. The fabric dyes in Exodus 36 and 8 Then all the gifted artisans among them who worked on the tabernacle made 10 curtains woven of fine linen and of blue, purple, and scarlet thread with artistic designs of cherubim made them. The length of each curtain was 28 cubits and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and the curtains were all the same size. And then he goes on to talk about how the curtains were made. The fabric dyes came from shellfish, which when boiled down and combined with various other elements, turned blue. The insects, which boiled down and combined with other elements, turned scarlet. And the murex snails gave it a purple color. The leather outer covering may have come from the rare skin of a Red Sea cow or manatee. So this tabernacle was fabulous. Made of gold, silver, and bronze. Elaborate, ornamented curtain. Various furnishings made of wood covered with gold. And as we continue on, we will get more into that. The gold, silver, and bronze in the tabernacle weighed 7 tons. Got an idea what a ton is? 7 tons. Not to mention heavy curtains and wooden pillars. Thousands of Levites were needed for this moving job, plus 6 ox carts. So whenever they move from place to place, when there's a pillar, a cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. And whenever they followed the cloud, they had to take down this tabernacle, which was huge and had a lot of parts to it. Only the Levites, only the priestly people, could touch and handle any part of the tabernacle. You've probably heard of two guys who were trying to keep the Ark of the Covenant from falling off the ox cart, and guess what? They died because they were not part of the priestly tribe. So when God says don't do something, he means don't do something. I'd like to take a break right now. Hopefully I didn't overwhelm you too much. And I'd like to ask you, if you feel this is worthwhile, feel that you're going to learn from this, we would like to ask you to sow into this ministry. This ministry is Kingdom Builders Development Institute. The Right Way is under the auspices of Kingdom Builders Development Institute. You may give and sow liberally, please. You can use Giveify, that's GIVELIFY, or PayPal. The email is kingdombuilderinternational@gmail.com. That's Kingdom, KINGDOM, BUILDER, INTER, NATIONAL @gmail.com. And if you would like, you can call us at 313-583-9739. We are here to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. This ministry is brought to you by Kingdom Builders Development Institute. It's an institute that has several ministries on this phone line, various ministries. You will be blessed if you would call back in or go on to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalk, B-L-O-G-T-A-L-K, radio, radio.com/KBDI. That's capital KBDI. You can go in and you can review the archives. You can look at other programs that will be coming on, that have been on this week and will be coming on later on this weekend and next week. Again, you can give to us Giveify or PayPal. The email address is kingdombuilderinternational@gmail.com. And the phone number is 313-583-9739. And you can go on to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. And In the upcoming weeks, we will have call-ins. You can ask questions in the upcoming weeks. Now let's get back into some fascinating. And let me repeat this: the gold, silver, and bronze in the tabernacle weighed 7 tons. Not to mention heavy curtains and wooden pillars. Thousands of Levites were needed for this moving job, plus 6 ox carts. And that's in Numbers 4. I have a huge picture of the tabernacle with the tribes around it, and it would be so nice if I could show you this so you can get an understanding. But for those of you who have computers, if you would Google Tabernacle in the Wilderness, it will pop up and it will show you what it looked like. And some more interesting facts about the tabernacle. When set up, the tabernacle courtyard was 1/4 the area of a football field, and the tent of meeting like a 2-story house. So the tabernacle had a courtyard, and when we say the tent of meeting, that's the holy place and the most holy place, was covered over with different kinds of skin, dyed blue, red, purple, and linen. God planned its construction in smaller components so that most of it could be hand carried by individuals or small groups walking. So it broke down into various components, and we will get into those components, and you will find those components to be very fascinating. The wood in the tabernacle was acacia, a thorny desert tree, tougher than oak. The burning bush that Moses saw in Exodus 3 and 2 was likely an acacia. Let's just go to Exodus 3 and 2. Can you imagine a bush burning and it doesn't consume itself, doesn't burn up? Amazing. We serve an amazing God. Amazing, amazing. Exodus 3 and 2 says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." Now, within the courtyard, there was a big dish, huge, huge dish, where the priests would have to wash their feet and their hands before they went into the temple or the tabernacle. And the flames at the bronze altar burned continually as a reminder of God's presence and the need to worship him. Interesting. They had to have a laver, fire, to remember, to be reminded to serve God and to worship him. What do we have? I believe we have our good conscience toward God, and we have the Holy Spirit prompts us. In Leviticus 6 and 12, and it says, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. Fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. So what I'm saying to us as Christians and those who will be Christians, once you accept Jesus in your heart, there will be a fire inside of you. Not a fire like on the stove or you light a fire, but a fire, a burning inside of you. And as you begin to seek the Lord more and more, that burning will grow and your desire to know him will grow. As we read, the aroma, the smell of the smell of the tabernacle, it had a smell to it. And it's a sweet smelling of spices. And I will read Exodus 22, and we'll see if we can get through 38. Exodus 30, verse 22 to 38. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil and an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generation. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it. According to its composition, it is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, state, and anchi, and gilibrium, and pure frankincense. With these sweet spices, there shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine, and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting where I will meet with you. It will be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall not make any for yourselves according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. So there was sweet smelling oil and spices in the tabernacle. If you've ever smelled frankincense, it smells wonderful. And I know we all pretty much cook with cinnamon. So can you imagine cinnamon and frankincense if you smell frankincense? I can't even imagine the two of them being combined, but I know it's a sweet-smelling aroma. The tabernacle had a unique scent of spices. Its recipes for incense and perfumed anointing oil were not to be used elsewhere. And Aaron, the brother of Moses, Aaron was the high priest, and his offsprings, his progeny, his the people born under him, his kids, grandkids, great grandkids, and therefore and thereon became the Levites. And let's talk just a little bit briefly about their articles. Just a little briefly. A plate of gold was engraved with holy to the Lord and fastened to the front of the linen turban with a blue cord. And this is what the high priest wore. The high priest's garments were woven with gold as well as linen and included one engraved onyx stone on each shoulder, 12 precious gems on the breastplate, which is on your breast, 12 in rows of four, 2 stones in a pocket over the heart, 2 braided chains of pure gold, and pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn around the hem with gold bells alternating between them. Let me just take a break here right now. And ask you to remember to consider us in your budget. You can sow to us through Giveify or PayPal. The email address is KingdomBuilderInternational, that's one word, @gmail.com. Phone number is 313-583-9739. I'll repeat that again. You can give to Kingdom Builders Development Institute, Giveify, GIVELIFY, or PayPal, of course, PayPal, and the email is KingdomBuilderInternational@gmail. Phone number is 313-583-9739. And whatever you give, we will certainly appreciate it, and it will be for the furtherance of the Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where the founders are Prophetess Teresa Phillips Dock and her husband QT Dock. This will allow them to bring more people on and to build the Development Institute and to bless you so that it will draw you closer to the Lord as you listen to the program. As I was listening today on my program that I listened to, I remembered this week. And it's interesting, because found that there will be a temple built during the millennial reign. How large, I understand, is going to be massive. But let's just again revisit this. There was a tabernacle in the wilderness. There was Solomon's temple. And when the temple was 500 years, Nehemiah and Ezra came back, and they had to rebuild the walls, the gates and the walls, and they helped to redo the temple. The temple was brought back, but it was never the way Solomon had it, or it was never looked like the tabernacle in the wilderness because of all the gold that was stolen from it. So Herod comes along, yes, Herod in the New Testament, decides he's going to put his little markings on it, so he makes it even, expands it even more, but it's never the way it looked in the wilderness nor Solomon's temple. Then now the temple has been torn down, and Jesus said, in 3 days, no, Jesus is saying, when Jesus said, in 3 days he would tear, this temple would be torn down then, and I will raise it back up. He was talking about his body. But he began to tell, when he came back, he said to them, that one stone will be left upon another of the tabernacle. So in 20 and 70 AD, the Romans came in, took all the gold, salted it so that nothing could grow there, and took it to Rome. Took all the gold and the artifacts to Rome. So now we don't have a temple. We got a Temple Mount. Well, the Aksama, forgive me, there are two mosques on the Temple Mount. Two Muslim mosques on the Temple Mount, where we say the temple was. Now, Tabernacle Temple, this is the temple that Solomon built, that Herod refurbished. Now it's the temple. Permanent standing. Tabernacle was a portable building. The temple was solid, firm on a foundation not to be moved. The temple was ransacked. This temple that the Jews want to build now is the temple where the Antichrist is going to set himself up and call himself God. So that's going to be a tribulation temple. And then we're going to have a temple, millennial reign temple, where Jesus will reign. So we want to keep that. We want to keep those facts. A few other things I want to say. And we're going to start getting down into more detail. Gold in the tabernacle represented God. Silver represented redemption. There's a lot of silver in the temple and a lot of gold. Let's talk about silver, and let's use silver as our segue into how we will begin to evolve the tabernacle. Silver represents redemption. Every young man at a certain age had to give silver to the temple, and we will review that next week. Every young man had to give silver. I'm not sure what the age is, but he had to give a shekel. I believe it was a shekel as a form of redemption. Well, let's just say, who else got 30? Who else got silver? Judas betrayed Christ. 30 pieces of silver. If Judas had never betrayed Christ, we never would have had salvation. Jesus would probably still be living today. He'd be the oldest man living forever. If Satan knew and had a good idea, or had an idea of the redemption work of Jesus, and he never would have killed him. The Bible says that. So silver in the Old Testament in the tabernacle represents redemption, and silver in the New Tabernacle in the New Testament represents salvation. Here's the law that I'm using to interpret this. Two laws. We talked about it last week. I'll talk about it again this week. There are types and shadows in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Again, we use Isaiah 53 and 5. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53 and 5 is a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus. He received 39 stripes, which and this is free. The 39 stripes represents the 39 strands of diseases in the earth. The New Testament in Psalms 22, if you read Psalms 22, that's a depiction of the crucifixion of Christ. So the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. This was all concealed. They had the prophets had an inkling, but they had no idea how it would come to fruition in the New Testament. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Isaiah 53 and 5, Psalm 22. And Isaiah, unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and there should be no end to his kingdom. He should be called Emmanuel, Prince of Peace. That's Isaiah. And that's talking about the future birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So those are the laws that I use when I review the tabernacle. Old Testament. Is the Old Testament, is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. If you understand that, then there shouldn't be a problem as it was understanding the tabernacle as we go through it. The tabernacle moved from place to place as the Lord led. On each side of the tabernacle, there were 12 tribes, and the tribes were divided into three tribes on the east, three tribes on the north, three tribes on the south, and three tribes on the west. And the tribes, there were four major tribes. Who each had banners. And these banners are likened to, and these banners absolutely represent the four beasts that are flying around the throne of God. So heaven is a beautiful place. So there are some things up there when Paul went and came back and said, he came back and there's certain things he just couldn't say, he just couldn't utter them. There are four beasts flying around the throne of God as we speak. They represent those four major tribes. One has the face of a man, ox, a lion, and an eagle. In Revelation, they look like. So there could be some other things there that makes them, they look like it, but maybe not 100%, but they look like. Like when you see somebody and you say, oh, you look like my aunt. You look like my uncle. You look like your mama. Yeah, you look like your mom. You look like your dad, but you still have you in it. So there are a lot of things in a tabernacle that are up in heaven today. Remember we said God told Moses to build his tabernacle exactly as I told you to, exactly as to the pattern that you see. So and God wanted to come down and dwell with his people. Well, He wanted a home away from home. How many of you on the line have a summer home? How many of you are snowbirds? When it snows, you head for Florida or Georgia, Mississippi or Alabama. And then when the weather goes, when it's warm up here and hot down there, you come back. Well, I'm not saying that's sort of kind of what I'm saying is God had a home in heaven, but he wanted to dwell with his people. And what's interesting, he had to dwell in a building. But now he dwells in us, not made by hands. He dwells inside of us. If you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, he dwells in you. You have that incorruptible seed inside of you. Oh, yeah, we make mistakes. And some of you who are not Christians are saying, well, Christians are not perfect. No, we never said we were perfect. Perfect in the Bible means spiritually mature. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our emotions and our personality, our mind, and we live in a body, this flesh. So, Christians, when people say to you, well, you think you're perfect, you think you just, no, you don't think you're perfect, like they say perfect, but you know you're perfect if you're spiritually mature. And you should be spiritually mature if you've been with the Lord 30 years, 40 years, or even 10 years. I know everybody grows at their own pace, but sometimes there are babies in the church that are 30 years old and don't know how to pray. Yeah, I've heard of that. A friend told me she was praying for a lady on the line, and the lady says, wait a minute, let me write down what you're saying. And so my friend said, well, what do you mean? Why are you writing this down? Because I don't know how to pray. Now, this lady, I know both of them. One was a minister who was praying, and the other lady grew up in the church. And she had to be about 50, 60. And you grew up in the church and don't know how to pray. So we got babies sitting on the line, sitting on the pew, drinking milk. Can't take the meat of the word. We're getting into the meat of the word here. We're getting to understand the deeper things of God. Oh, there's so many wonderful things, deep things of God. But you have to be at a point where you've covered the basics. And as we go through this, I will periodically go back and try to bring you up to date so that when you understand the tabernacle, you understand salvation, you understand the birth, the death, and the resurrection, and the rapture of the saints, and the coming back of the Lord and his millennial reign, and the releasing of Satan for 1,000 years, and then after that we shall forever be with him. So you will understand that, and that's a lot. I know maybe I jumped a little too far ahead, but just to whet your appetite, to let you know the Bible is fantastically great. It is just so full of it's God's word. Is God's word. And I grew up in the church. I grew up in a Baptist church, and I went to a Pentecostal church. And then I left there and went to the faith movement, and that's where the word of God took a hold for me. In the Baptist church, they sung, and I got emotionally happy. Went to the Sanctified church, the same thing. Nobody delved into the word. The word that I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Not the emotions that I feel when I go to church on Sunday. That's wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I like the goosebumps, and I like the emotions too. But at the end of the day, when my supervisor is after me and all I can do to keep from cussing her out, I got to go to the word. Because I have to maintain for my physical and mental and spiritual well-being, I have to maintain a modicum of decency in Christianity, because I want to be able to lead people to Christ. And I don't want them to say, oh, I thought she was a Christian, but look how she acts. Well, you know, yeah, we have issues. As I said, for certain things we just ought not to do things. We just ought not to do. We ought to be able to hold our tongue. Well, I think I have spoke to you enough tonight to give you something to think about. The Word of God is fantastic, and as we delve into it, we will find out some hidden truths in there. We will find out just how much God loves us. And you know He had to love us. Those of you who have a son, maybe one son or only son or a baby son, and somebody said to you, I want you to give up your son to die so that family can be saved. How many of you would really give up your son? Really? How many? You would wrestle with it, but would you really? But God gave up His only begotten son. Only begotten son. Only son. That whosoever shall believe on Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And let me just give you a little hint. Those of you who are born again, you are in eternal life right now. You have eternal life right now. And when you die, you just make a transition from the earth realm to the spirit realm. But you have eternal life. Eternal life on the good side. And those who are not born again, you got eternal life too, but look where you're going to spend it. So I offer Christ to you, my brother, my sister. I offer Christ to you. He will give you brand new life. He will give it to you abundantly. Come, can, while salvation is free. If you can't live saved now, how are you going to live saved during the tribulation period? How? So I like to offer Christ to you. I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. Dear Heavenly Father, those on the line that need to offer their hearts to you, Lord, I pray that they will. Lord, I pray that they will repeat the sinner's prayer, which is, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you were born, that you died, and you were resurrected. And that you sit on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Accept you in my heart, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior and for my forgiveness of sin. And in Jesus' name, I receive you, Lord. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, now what you need to do is go tell someone that you've accepted the Lord. With the heart, man believes, but with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. So this is not something you hide under a bush. This is something you go tell someone. And I like to think that as we continue on, that there will be converts to Christianity. And if they convert to the Baptist church or the Pentecostal church or the AME church or the Catholic church, I said converts to Christianity, disciples of Christ. And as we leave, I'd also like to, once again, please bear with me, because nothing is free. We say salvation is free. Well, Jesus gave up His life. What's free about that? He gave up His life so that we could have eternal life. So nothing is really free, you guys. So let me ask again and make a passionate plea. Please give to Kingdom Builders Development Institute. You can use GiveFi or PayPal. The email is Kingdom builderinternational@gmail. The phone number is 313-583-9739. And I'd like to say I trust and pray you got something out of this today. And next week we'll have even more. And as we continue on, we will build and build. So finally we would have talked about the tabernacle and the priesthood and the things relate and the feast days as they relate to the priesthood and the tabernacle. So I'm signing off. This is Minister Sophia Johnson Parks from Right Way Ministry. God bless you.
Tell me apart. You're bigger than the universe.